Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, as you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. Cause the love around here is bound to make you fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the second chapter of Acts, where we've been following the apostles' boldness in preaching the Word of God. And now as we continue with part two of our study entitled Great Power and Great Grace, we'll once again be learning more about being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's pick up today's lesson in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
You know, when you see the Lord at work, when you can look around and see, man, God is doing something, that just gives you confidence. You know, you just feel like, yes, the Lord is doing something, and I'm part of it, and I'm going to jump right in and go for it with everybody else. But we need to pray. You know, we are really, I believe, at a time, historically, where we need the visible power of God demonstrated in our lives and through our lives and in our fellowships and in our outreach. We need something more than just a program. We need something more than just a slick show. We need something more than just a good argument. We need power, not just, you know, a logical setting forth of the gospel and the ability to show its superiority to something else, or the ability to show that the Bible is God's word, or, you know, the apologetic approach is good, it's important, I am committed to it. We need to understand those things and be able to communicate them, but we need something more than just that. We need the power of God behind what we say. And, of course, we've got it in the gospel. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. We've got to get the gospel out to people. But it's got to go out, as Paul the Apostle declared concerning his gospel. He said, our gospel did not come to you in word only. What does that mean? It means that it's possible that our message could, in a sense, just be words without the dynamic of the Spirit behind it. So, you see, we need the gospel, but we need that dynamic of the Spirit accompanying the gospel. I've thought about this before, thinking back when I was a kid and I used to go to church on Sundays and sit and listen to the homilies that were given. And, you know, they came from the Bible. They would open up, and we had an Irish priest, so he would do a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, you know. Every week, you know, the same thing. And I remember sitting there listening to him read it, but I never had any idea what it was really all about. The words were being read, but there was no dynamic behind it. There was no power. And, you know, that can happen to us as well. We can have all the right words. We can be saying correct things. We can have better arguments. But we need power. We need the power of God. I was thinking about this encounter I had with this Islamic guy a couple years ago back in New York City. And as I was in this lengthy debate with him, I mean, we must have talked for at least an hour and a half. And we argued tit for tat, point for point, back and forth, back and forth. And, you know, at a certain point, I just thought, I need more than words. I need power. God, you got to do something to break through here. And I really felt that, you know, as we came down to the end of our conversation, God did do that through just a clear explanation of the gospel. And I'll never forget how, you know, after sort of approaching it apologetically and philosophically and all of these different ways, finally coming down to just this one issue, what are you going to do about your sin? And how Jesus Christ is the only one who answers that question, the sin question, and how I was able to explain to him the atonement and those things. And I remember at that point, it was almost like I could feel the power of God kick in. But we need that power. We need that power in our lives. And that's what they were praying for. They were praying for that power. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They received the power as they received once again a fresh outpouring of the Spirit. Now, I want you to notice something. As we're studying through Acts here, remember the second chapter of Acts is that key passage on the baptism of the Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, as we studied, Jesus said, "Wait in Jerusalem, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Acts chapter 2 is the fulfillment of that, the day of Pentecost. And there the disciples were all baptized in the Spirit. You know, they spoke in tongues. And Peter preached the gospel that day. 3,000 souls were added and so forth. But notice here. Here once again, we read that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what we need to understand is that being filled with the Spirit is something that occurs over and over and over again in our Christian lives. It's not a one-time event. Some people think of the baptism of the Spirit or being filled with the Spirit as a one-time event. At some point back in 1978 or whatever, I went forward, they laid hands on me and they prayed and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Great. But have you been baptized again? Have you been filled? And filling and baptism are synonyms. They're the same thing because we read you're going to be baptized in the Spirit. And then when the event occurred in Acts 2, it's recorded the day of Pentecost. It doesn't say they were baptized. It says they were filled. So the baptism of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit are the same thing. But here we see from these men who were baptized, filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Now some time has passed. A few months, perhaps, have transpired. And now, once again, they are feeling the need for a fresh work of God and for a new surge of His power. And they pray. And what happens? They are all filled, once again, with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, the main thing that happens is they receive power from God. That's what Jesus said. He said, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you. You shall receive power." In a lot of circles, when you talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the only thing that comes to mind is tongues. Now, tongues is an aspect of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and is a gift received by some believers. But when we think of the baptism of the Spirit, the moment we think of that, we should not think about tongues. The moment we think of the baptism of the Spirit, we should think about power, because that's what the baptism with the Spirit is about, and that's what we see here demonstrated once again. They received power from the Spirit, and what did they do? They spoke the word of God with boldness. Do you ever feel that you lack authority when it comes to ministering the word of God? Do you feel that there's not a boldness in your life? Ask the Lord to fill you with the Spirit. Keep asking Him to fill you with the Spirit that you might do this very thing. Speak the word of God with boldness. You see, what we're talking about is what I was saying a moment ago. It's speaking the word of God in the authority of the Spirit, not merely being able to lay out the four spiritual laws, not merely being able to take one down the Romans road, which is another method of leading someone to Christ. Not merely being able to put forth a good, strong, intellectual argument for the authenticity of the Bible or the superiority of Christ or the resurrection of Jesus or whatever the case might be. Those are all good things, but we've got to be able to communicate them in the power of the Spirit. And so, how do we get it? What do? We ask for it. And we keep asking for it. We keep praying for it. It should be something that we pray for regularly. That's what they did. They sensed, okay, the opposition is increasing. They're telling us not to speak in the name of Jesus. We need more power. Lord, grant us boldness. Grant us power. And I really think that today, as God's people, we need to be praying together. We need to be praying individually. We need to be praying collectively. And we need to be praying, God, give us power. God, fill us with your life. Fill us with that dynamic of the Spirit. That's what they did here, and God granted. And it said, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that any of the things they possessed was their own, but they had all things in common. And now verse 33, listen to this. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. I love that picture right there. Great power and great grace were upon them. Did you know that the early church, the apostolic church that we're reading about here, did you know that this was a mega church? Have you heard about the mega churches? We're living in the day and age of what is known as the mega church, and we have all over the country mega churches, and every pastor aspires to pastor a mega church. And the mega churches today are marked by a number of things, but let me give you just a few. The mega churches today are marked by great buildings, great programs, great personalities, great food. They all have food courts, and great entertainment. Those are the features, among other things, but those are the key features of the mega churches today. But did you know the apostolic church was a mega church? Not in the modern sense. But the Greek words here are mega dunamis and mega charis. They had mega power. They had great power. That's the word. They had mega grace. They had great grace. That is what a real mega church is. A church that has great power and great grace. The true mega church has nothing to do with great building projects. It has nothing to do with great programs or great personalities. It has everything to do with great power, the power of God being demonstrated, and great grace. Now, think about those two phrases there. There was great power, and it was through this great power that the apostles witnessed to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And what I envision as I see great power demonstrated in the church is I envision conversions taking place. Salvation taking place, people's lives being transformed radically, powerfully. People meeting Christ and coming from every walk of life, and just the power of God getting a hold of them and transforming that. That is so glorious when you see the great power of God upon a fellowship. You know, when I was in London last week, I had the opportunity to share with the church there. And a friend of mine who has been with us here, his name is Tony Reed, a great friend and one of the first fruits of our ministry in London, as he was the caretaker of the school that we used to have our church in. And as he would, you know, set up the chairs and do all of his work every week, he would also eavesdrop on the messages, and through a process of time, he was converted. And God did such a powerful work in his life, just his background, everything, you know, just a life that was ruined by sin, but God just greatly transformed him. Well, this past Sunday, he brought some friends to church with him. And over the years that we've known each other, he's told me about these people, and we've been praying for them off and on. And this past Sunday, it just happened to be that I was going to be in town. He didn't realize it, but they had agreed to come to church with him. And so he brought this motley crew. And I'll tell you, they were serious, serious sinners. One of them had just been released from prison. He had been in 10 years for murder. And the other two were just, you know, drugs and just crime and everything you can imagine. And as I shared that morning, afterward, one of them came up for prayer. And as I just began to pray for him, he just began to sob. He began to just weep and just convulse. And the Lord was touching him. And I was so grateful to be part of that. But, you know, as I'm looking at this person in this devastated life, I'm just thinking, Lord, nothing less than your dynamic power can alter this life destroyed by sin. But that's what we want to see in the church. We want to see the mega dunamis of God, the great power of God coming down and bringing people to salvation, changing their lives, transforming them. And I think we need to pray for that to happen again. I know it's still happening, but I think we need to pray that it happens in a greater way. And right here in our own midst, but out from us as well. But then there was great grace. And I just like the ring of that, great grace. But when I think of great grace being upon the fellowship, in my mind, I just get a picture. It's hard to even visualize it, but I just get a picture of just a sense of love and peace and joy and just a rightness about the fellowship. That's what they were experiencing. We need the great power of God today. We need to have His great grace upon us. How do we get it? We get it by praying. We get it by pleading with the Lord and asking Him and calling upon His name. And, you know, every time I go off somewhere, the Lord speaks something to me. And this time He spoke to me. He said, you need to pray more. And it spurred my heart. This is the way to the great power and the great grace. That's how they got there. That's how we're going to get there as well. Some friends gave me a little package to give to Cheryl. And when I gave it to her and she opened it this morning, it happened to be a couple of books that she picked up over in the UK. One of the books had to do with the Keswick Convention that they have in England. It's been going on for years and years and years. And Pastor Chuck, back in the late 1980s, he was the keynote speaker a couple of years. And so after the convention is over, they put things in a book form and you can go down to your Christian bookstore and buy it. So anyway, they picked this up in the Christian bookstore and it's some particular British evangelicals who are giving sermons in there as well as some of Pastor Chuck's sermons. And then there was another book on the Jesus people, kind of a chronicle of what happened here at Calvary Chapel back in the late 60s and early 70s, and the whole outpouring of the Spirit of God. Anyway, so, you know, Cheryl got these, and she was excited to get them, so she called her parents. She was telling them about it and so forth. And, you know, an interesting thing occurred as we were just standing around in the kitchen. The Lord spoke to me, and again, I'm just coming fresh off of, you know, my trip, and I'm just evaluating the whole thing, and not just the trip I had this week, but I'm evaluating the whole ministry in Europe. And I'm sensing that we need something more. God has been gracious in what He's done so far, but we need something more. We need fresh power. We need a, you know, so all of this is stirring in me. And then, of course, there's always the human element of, I don't know what God wants to do. I mean, maybe I'm just hoping for something that is not going to happen. You know, we have that battle. And the Lord just in an instant spoke to me, and He just showed me that Calvary Chapel is, unquestionably, no doubt about it, it is the byproduct of a dynamic work of God. It did not exist. It came into existence almost overnight as the Spirit of God was poured out. And the Lord spoke to me today and just said to me, I want to keep doing what I started doing. There's no reason to think that I want to stop. And as the Lord spoke that to me, I was thinking back about revival and the revivals that have occurred in history, and how an interesting thing with the revivals, you know, revivals usually strike a certain place and then they go out from that place. But in that particular place, there's a reoccurrence through a process of time. There's a dynamic outpouring, and then there's the immediate results of that, and then time passes, and things maybe seem to calm down or cool down a bit or take a different form, but then it sort of flares up again. And I was thinking about what happened in England from the time of the Wesleys in the mid to late 1700s all the way through to the 1900s, how there was just a series of revivals that occurred over and over again in that particular region. And the Lord was speaking to me saying, I want to keep doing through this ministry what I did before. It's not over. Don't think it's over. Understand that I want to work, and pray for those things that you've been doing over there, because this is just the beginning of what we're doing. And so I was encouraged. I told Cheryl when I got home, she asked me, how's the trip? I said, it was weird. I usually come home from a trip all excited. And I said, no, it was weird. I said, I taught on faith. I did. Taught on faith. And, you know, the funny thing was, I told her, I said, I taught on faith at the sessions, and somehow between the conference center and the airport, I lost faith. But the Lord is so faithful and he's so good. He's just spent the last 24 hours renewing my faith. The Lord wants to work. He is working, but I think he wants to make us a mega church in the biblical sense. Not the great buildings, the great programs, the great personalities, the great entertainment, but the great power of God, the great grace of God being upon us. And our part is to pray. Now, that's assuming that everything else is in order, that you're living in the Spirit, that you're not in the flesh, that you're not in sin. Of course, if that's the case, then you need to get out of that and then start praying. You need to pray out of that too. But for those that are with the Lord and following the Lord, but yet we're sensing that, Lord, we need something more. I believe the word of the Lord to us is that we need to pray. And we need to seek him as they did here. Because we are under similar circumstances. The opposition is fierce. It's intense. It's coming at us from every conceivable angle. And it's not going to stop. But we've got to press through it. And we can only do that if we have that great power and that great grace, and that comes through prayer. And so let's do that. Let's commit ourselves to prayer. Let's pray right now. Father, Lord, we confess, Lord, that we need your power. And Lord, we confess that we haven't prayed as we ought. Lord, forgive us. Forgive me. Help us, Lord, to be like these apostles. Lord, as we look at the opposition, Lord, instead of, as we do so often, just crying for you to take it away, help us, Lord, to rise up and press through it. Lord, bring your mighty power down upon us. Lord, give us that great grace and that great power to glorify you in these days, we pray. And Lord, I know that not only on a larger sense with the church, but Lord, each of us have our own individual issues and struggles and obstacles before us. Lord, fill us with your Spirit that we might overcome those things. And Lord, for those that are struggling with opposition before them, some obstacle, something that is keeping them back from entering into all that you have for them, Lord, help them, Lord, to press through in prayer and grant them that great power and grace to overcome. Lord, pour your Spirit upon us here at Calvary Chapel so that we might spread your word to the uttermost parts of the earth. These things we pray in the mighty name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.
We'll continue with more of our study through the book of Acts in our next lesson as Pastor Brian shares with us the effects of purity and power. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Great Power and Great Grace. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT3111. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
So turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.